line in the hymn we just heard, "Welcome thy loving children from far and near." Those on the computer, the phone, and on Skype, we are happy that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. Let's begin our Active Church Wednesday midday testimony meeting with singing. Using your computer, you'll find a link to the words of the hymns and other information on the Order of Service webpage. Go to www.csinteractivechurch.org and within the turquoise box, click on the first link. Please note, we mute everyone's phone to eliminate background noises, enabling a clearer connection, but do sing aloud wherever you may be. Our first hymn is on page 389 in the Christian Science Hymnal, and I'll read the first verse, and then we'll listen to the music before we sing. While thou, O my God, art my help and defender, no cares can o'erwhelm me, no terrors appall. The wiles and the snares of this world will but render more lively my hope in my God and my all. Hymn 389. The readings are recorded so that people worldwide may listen to them at their convenience. The scriptural selections are from the King James Bible and the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. Today's topic is, Let's See What the One Mind is Showing Us. The Bible, the Book of Esther. When the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, and he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and took her for his own daughter. And the king loved Esther above all the women, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath, and he sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout all the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth, and Mordecai told him of all that had happened, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called there is one law of his, to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. I have not been called. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade him return to Mordecai this answer, Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with a glad heart. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, Moreover, yea, Esther the queen, tomorrow am I invited unto her, also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all of his friends unto him, Let a gallows be made, that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. And the thing pleased Haman. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of the keepers of the door who sought to lay hand on the king. And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him. And the king said, Who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, Behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, Let him come in. So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, What should be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And Haman answered the king. Then the king said to Haman, Make haste, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate, that nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. The king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. Who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then the king said, Will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Esther spake yet again before the king to reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. And it was written. And the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. Psalms. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I shall now read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. All that really exists is the divine mind and its idea, and in this mind, the entire being is found harmonious and eternal. The straight and narrow way is to see and acknowledge this fact, yield to this power, and follow the leadings of truth. Mind is not an entity within the cranium with the power of sinning now and forever. We should blush to call that real, which is only a mistake. Question: what is mind? Answer: mind is God. The exterminator of error is the great truth that God good is the only mind, and that the supposititious opposite of infinite mind, called devil or evil, is not mind, is not truth, but error, without intelligence or reality. There can be but one mind because there is but one God. We can have but one mind if that one is infinite. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. With one Father, even God, the whole family of man would be brethren, and with one mind, and that God a good, the brotherhood of man would consist of love and truth and have unity of principle and spiritual power which constitute divine science. The children of God have but one mind. Man is the expression of God's being. The facts of divine science should be admitted, although the evidence as to these facts is not supported by evil, by matter, or by material sense, because the evidence that God and man coexist is fully sustained by spiritual sense. Man is, and forever has been, God's reflection. God is infinite, therefore ever-present, and there is no other power nor presence. Hence, the spirituality of the universe is the only fact of creation. Let God be true, but every material man a liar. A patient under the influence of mortal mind is healed only by removing the influence on him of this mind, by emptying his thought of the false stimulants and reaction of willpower and filling it with the divine energies of truth. Christian science destroys material belief through the understanding of spirit, and the thoroughness of this work determines health. Erring human mind forces can work only evil under whatever name or pretense they are employed. For spirit and matter, good and evil, light and darkness, cannot mingle. Evil is a negation, because it is the absence of truth. Evil is self-assertive. It says, I am a real entity overmastering good. This falsehood should strip evil of all pretensions. The only power of evil is to destroy itself. It can never destroy one iota of good. Every attempt of evil to destroy good is a failure and only aids in peremptorily destroying, punishing the evildoer. If we concede the same reality to discord as to harmony, discord has a lasting claim upon us, as has harmony. If evil is as real as good, evil is also immortal. If death is as real as life, immortality is a myth. If pain is as real as the absence of pain, both must be immortal. And if so, harmony cannot be the law of being. Mortal mind is ignorant of self, or it could never be self-deceived. Let the slave of wrong desire learn the lessons of Christian Science, and he will get the better of that desire and ascend a degree in the scale of health, happiness, and existence. No faculty of mind is lost. In science, all being is eternal, spiritual, perfect, harmonious in every action. Let the perfect model be present in your thoughts instead of its demoralized opposite. The spiritualization of thought lets in the light and brings the divine mind, life not death, into your consciousness. Anatomy, when conceived of spiritually, is mental self-knowledge and consists in the dissection of thoughts to discover their quality, quantity, and origin. Are thoughts divine or human? That is the important question. This branch of study is indispensable to the excision of error. The Christian Scientist, through understanding mental anatomy, discerns and deals with the real cause of disease. The anatomy of Christian Science teaches when and how to probe the self-inflicted wounds of selfishness, malice, envy, and hate. It teaches the control of mad ambition. It unfolds the hallowed influences of unselfishness, philanthropy, spiritual love. It urges the government of the body, both in health and in sickness. And from the chapter of Fruitage in Science and Health, a short testimony. It's entitled Depraved Appetites Overcome. When Christian Science first came to me, or rather when I first came to Christian Science, I did not have a very bad opinion of myself. I thought I was a pretty good fellow. I had no religious views. I seemed to be getting along as well as, if not better than, some who professed Christianity. So I drifted along until I was led to investigate Christian Science. As I progressed in the understanding as gained from the study of both science and health and the Bible and commenced to know myself, I found that a great change had been wrought in me. For 15 years, I had used tobacco, both chewing and smoking. For 10 years, I had been a victim of the drink habit, sometimes to excess. I was also addicted to profanity. Christian Science removed these appetites. A stomach trouble and other lesser ills, such as headache, a bad temper, an inordinate love of money, etc., disappeared under the same benign influence. Those things that seem to be pleasure do not give me pleasure now. They were not real pleasure. I have lost nothing. I have sacrificed nothing. But I have gained everything, and not yet the whole, for I can see plenty yet to be done. the condition of mind before investigating and after is as different as black and white. As Mrs. Eddy says, not matter, but mind satisfieth. And this was written by G.B.P. from Henry, South Dakota. This concludes the readings.